This is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The first reading is recorded in Isaiah 29, beginning with the 11th verse. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, "Read this, please," they will answer, "I can't, it is sealed." Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, "Read this, please," they will answer, "I don't know how to read." The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me?' Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing?' In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is recorded in Ephesians 5, beginning with the 22nd verse. "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the worthy name of Jesus Christ this morning. Let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Now, that may be a life question that everyone asks at some point in their life, and it's a good question to ask, and it's a good question to understand the answer to. And we'll touch on that a little bit today. But my question is, why are you here in this room at this time? Have you thought about that before you came today? You know, there was a pastor who was new to his congregation. And as is the custom, the pastor stands at the back door and greets the people as they leave the worship center. And he was greeting the people, and he shook hands with a man, and he retracted his hand, and he found a $20 bill in it. And he said, well, what's this for? And the man said, for every time that you get us out at 10 minutes before the hour, there's another 20 in it for you. Because we want to beat the Baptist to the local restaurant in the buffet line. Do you think that the man had a proper understanding of worship? Probably not. Because sometimes we go to church, or as Pastor Mark used to say, we do church, but we don't really worship. Sometimes we sing hymns and we sing songs, pray songs, but we don't worship. Sometimes we listen to sermons, but we don't worship. Sometimes we serve in some ministry here or some ministry there, but we don't worship. So I have to ask, why do you go to church on Sunday? Is it a tradition because that's what you do on a Sunday morning in the South? Is it because, you know, your mother or your father or your wife or your husband made you come along with them? Is it because you need to put in an appearance? Is it because you need to show off a new dress or a new suit or a new hairdo or something like that? Well, I hope none of those reasons are why you are here today. Holy Scripture addresses those reasons, and we'll see in a little bit. But I want all of us to think about why we came here today and what worshiping God is all about. Let me ask you another question. If you knew that Jesus was going to be in a certain place in Tallahassee on a certain day at a certain time, what would you do? Well, I'm hoping you're thinking, well, I would drop everything and I would prepare to be there when he's there. Well, Jesus is present with us on Sunday mornings here, because you'll notice that we start every service with the invocation in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said in Matthew 18, in verse 20, he said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." Jesus is present with us today, right now, because we started this service in his name. Why would we want to miss that experience? Have you ever been to a church service when, you know, you just had the feeling that something special had happened or was happening? You know, maybe it's especially uplifting singing, or maybe it's especially uplifting message. Or maybe it's just a regular service, but you had the sense that something special was happening. Well, I've had those experiences, and I know some of you have too, because I've talked with you about it. I mean, I had that experience just last week. What made the difference? To me, and I can only speak for myself, to me it was the power of the Holy Spirit coming into my heart and making me realize just how awesome, how wonderful, how loving Jesus is to me. When that happens, you know, I get overwhelmed with emotion, and I just can't speak. Of course, for a pastor, that causes some awkward pauses. But why doesn't that happen every service? Well, I believe it happens when my heart is especially open to the working of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was that I wasn't focusing on all the distractions that go on in a service. Maybe it wasn't that I was, you know, thinking about what I was going to do next. Maybe I was focusing on the presence of Jesus himself, who is present with us. Focusing on praising God. Focusing on listening to him. Focusing on opening my heart to him. My spirit was engaged with God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was free from the interferences, and therefore I felt closer to God. And isn't that what it's all about, folks? That we're closer to God, and so that we can thank him for being so loving and so wonderful to us. You know, we were made to worship him. Did you know that? We were made to worship him. True worship pleases him. And when we worship together here, it's very important. I believe that God wired us, he created us, so that we would worship him together. Yes, we can worship him individually, but to me it's so much more rich, so much more important to worship him collectively, our spirits connected to him. It's a time then when we can forget all of the things that distract us on the outside, all the trials and the temptations and the tribulations and the things that go on in our life in this world. And we can concentrate on the most important person in our life, God, the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is worthy of our praise because of who he is. He created us. He created everything we see, everything that we know. There is absolutely no one like him. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. If we don't worship him, we're in essence telling him that we don't appreciate him. Is that what we want to tell our Creator? God is worthy of our worship because of what he's done for us. Yes, I've said that he created us, but he also saved us. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our sins, which we could never get out away from on our own. He saved us by coming down in the form of a man named Jesus. And Jesus became that sacrificial lamb to remove our sins and provide a way for us to get out of this temporary life that we live in and be with Him in all eternity in heaven. What a tremendous gift that He's given to us, and He's given to all people. Do we want to ignore a gift as wonderful as that? Well, that's what's happened. That's what happens when we don't go to worship, when we have other better things to do, better in quotes. Or when we come in here with a casual and just an uncaring attitude, unprepared. It's important what we do here, folks. Much more important than any other motivation that you might have for coming here on Sunday. Worship is about showing God that we love Him, that we appreciate Him. Worship is a time that we can honor Him and we can glorify Him. It's not about what our agenda is. It's not about our likes or dislikes. It's not about, you know, whether we like or dislike a particular song or hymn. It's not about if there's a mistake in the order of worship or if there's a change that's somehow upsetting to us. It's not about, you know, how shameful so-and-so is for always coming in late. It's not about what somebody's wearing. Worship is first and foremost a selfless act of love to our wonderful God. It involves getting out of the way, getting ourselves out of the way, removing our opinions, removing our questions, removing our worries, removing ourselves, and focusing on Him. You know, worship is a lifestyle. It's just not something that we do for an hour on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 13, the writer says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Now let me see if I can paraphrase this a little bit. Something that we can remember. Praise is the expression we give to the worship we live. Praise is the expression we give to the worship we live. For those who profess the name of Jesus, praise is the fruit of our lips. It's created off of our lips. Do we profess His name? Are we called Christians? Do we come here today to offer our sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips? You know, too many times people come with other things on their mind. Too many times our human agendas get in the way. It's like the religious leaders that Jesus went up against in our gospel lesson today from Mark 7. You see, they were more concerned with their outward appearance of looking like they're holy rather than actually praising and honoring God. Their mistake was to think that their worship was acceptable because of an outward cleanliness ritual that they went through. That was the important thing for them. But Jesus confronted them. Jesus told them, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Of course, this was nothing new in Jesus' time. You know, Jesus quoted from when his father told Isaiah some 700 years before that about the Israelites. Even then, their leaders were worshiping God for all the wrong reasons. They weren't motivated by love for God. They were motivated by greed and status and outward appearances. And then again in Matthew 23, Jesus confronted them again. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like the whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean." Yeah, their problem was a cleanness problem, but it wasn't cleanness of their hands. It was cleanness of their heart. Could the same be said of us? I sure hope not. Because it's important that we worship God for all the right reasons. We come together every Sunday as a church. We come together as the body of Christ here on earth. Life, this life that we know, this temporary life, is a preparation, folks, for eternal life. Okay? Jesus is very loving and very protective of his church here on this earth. He likened it he likened the church, us, to be his bride on wedding day. You know, on that last day when Jesus comes, he will be our groom. We will be his bride. And we will have the wedding feast. We will all be united with him. And we will all go into that wedding feast that will last for all eternity. That's something to look forward to. That wedding feast will have no end. That's why Paul, in our second lesson today, used the analogy of marriage for us to liken our marriages, our earthly marriages, to be what it will be like on that last day. In that way, we prepare for our eternal marriage to Jesus. And for that reason alone, we should be worshiping our wonderful and loving God as often as we can. Remember, continually. Think about it. Is there anything that God doesn't do for us? He created us. He gives us our family. He gives us our friends. He loves us. He gives us the ability to earn a living so we can have food and so we can have shelter and so we can have all the other things that we need. Notice I said need. He gives us his guide through this temporary life. It's called his holy word. It's called, Holy Scripture, the Bible. And he gave us Jesus to show us the way out of this life so that we can be with him in all eternity. Isn't he worthy of our praise? Shouldn't we honor him? Shouldn't we show him that we love him? Is that too much to ask? My friends, as I said, worship is a lifestyle. It's a gathering of believers who celebrate our wonderful God. But we don't have to do it here in a church, necessarily. It's only out of convenience that church buildings, were built so that believers would have a common place to gather. The important thing is that we recognize that God is spirit, and he wants our spirits engaged with him when we worship, not just our mouths. As Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, he said, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. He wants true worship. He wants our spirits engaged with him in worship. Don't we want to be one of those true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth that Jesus talked about? I think we do. So how do we go about improving our worship of God? Well, the French have a proverb, and it says, a good meal begins with hunger. I say, effective worship begins with a hunger too. A hunger for God. A hunger to please Him. A hunger to love Him back. If we approach worship with a hunger to please God, both He and we will be satisfied every time. And after all, isn't that what it's all about? So I want to end today with a little bit different way. I want to end with a psalm about worship, Psalm 100. And I want us to read this psalm together. Because, after all, we're here in His name. We're here worshiping Him as the body of Christ. And so, I want us to have our spirits engage together and with Him, along with our mouths and along with our minds. And so I want us to read this slower than normal, to think about every word. Okay? So let's say this together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, that He is who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. And His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen to that. Amen.